Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Is April 2nd, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. Yeah, I was away last week. Get into that, you know, a little bit. Got, you know, a bunch of stuff to talk about, obviously. You know, big wrestling weekend coming up. You know, I'll talk a little bit about the WWE side of things, even though I'm, you know, really kind of disconnected from it. But, yeah, I'll get into that a little bit. And, you know, a lot of indie shows going on this weekend. You know, like I said, big wrestling weekend coming up. But anyway, I'll touch on a bunch of stuff. Last week, I didn't do the show because, well, one, I decided to really, really turn it up. You know, I keep telling you guys that, you know, I'm focusing more and more and more and more, and it's just becoming my focus is just becoming, you know, more clear as the weeks go on. Pushing myself more and more in the gym. Decided last week I'm going 5 days in the gym straight up. And, you know, I mean, that might not sound like a lot to people who, you know, are a regular, you know, 6-7 day a week in the gym. But I've never been that. You know, I mean, I've maintained a pretty good body shape even going, you know, a couple of days in the gym. I'd be able to gain some, you know, strength and stuff like that. But pushing it heavier and heavier, and I'm just like, fuck this, you know. So now I'm going 5 days straight up. I actually went tonight too, which is the first time I've actually, you know, went to the gym, came home, ate, showered, and then did the show. You know, normally I have a couple hours before the show to, you know, kind of prepare for things. So, of course, I'm unprepared. But that's really nothing new. So it's ridiculous to even use that excuse to have time to prepare because I never prepare for the show. So sometimes, a lot of times I plan on it, but it just doesn't happen. But anyway, last week I decided, yeah, let me just go really focus in on the gym, not do the show. Last week was also my birthday on Thursday, so I figured, yeah, let me just, you know, push full force. And I did that really fucking weak in the gym. You know, just kept the routine going, and yeah, man, just plowed right through the whole week and really, really good. I decided Thursday, which was my birthday, was actually going to be, I think that was Thursday, right? No, Friday. Friday, which was actually going to be leg day, I said, you know what? I did legs earlier in the week already. Let me use this as my running day. So rather than go to the gym, I'm trying to figure out exactly what I did here. That's right. I did come home. I didn't go to the gym that day. I was going to use that, you know, which would be leg day, as running. So my thoughts were, I'm going to go put in a solid fucking run, man. You know, some of my runs I've done in the past, when I had that mentality, is I go like fucking 10 miles and shit. And, you know, I'm not doing them consistently 10 miles, but when I do kind of set myself up for a big run, I wind up in that, you know, 8, 10, 12 miles, like crazy shit. So that's kind of what I had planned. And, man, I just had the worst run possible. I went out there, I got like 2.5K in, which is, I don't even know, less than 2 miles, and just blown up. Like, lungs weren't with it, legs weren't with it, all that. And I just, the only thing I can contribute it to is, the rest of the week I was going so hard with everything else, including putting in a really good leg workout earlier in the week, that my shit just wasn't ready for that. So it's all good, you know, still went back to gym the next day and stuff like that. Like I said, last week ended with me still hitting the gym 5 days, and I was really, really happy with that. Like I said, the run, not so much, but just fucking keep at it. I'm going to try to focus as much of my leg days as possible to just strictly running. And just that type of thing, because my first race is at the end of the month, you know, mud race. It's, I think, like 6 or 8 miles or something, you know, a little on the bigger side for the mud races, because a lot of them are 5Ks, and, you know, this one's a little bigger than that. So good way to start the season. Then I got all of May off from the races. I got nothing, you know, no races planned for May. And then June I got, like, you know, 2 weeks in a row I'm doing them, and, you know, just keeps going up from there. So, you know, just starting to turn the corner and get kind of excited, you know, going towards that. Otherwise, on my birthday, what did I do? I brought home, all right, well, I got 2 pigeons. The one I got, I brought home. For those who don't know, you know, I have a duck pen in my yard that's, you know, covered, top sides, all that stuff. I got 3 ducks out there. And I decided the one day, we had this pigeon that was just in my job for probably 2 months. He was just in a carrier. Really didn't have a place for him to go. I guess we were searching out what kind of rescues and stuff. And he was just in there just chilling. And he's a white pigeon. He looks cool as hell. He looks like a little owl and shit. So I named him Tyson, and I just started thinking. I was like, you know what? He can live out there with ducks. So I was like, all right. And, you know, because he was inside for a while, I'd have to bring him in at night and put him out there and, you know, get him used to the weather. And then once he's used to the weather, he could stay out there. We actually got him initially. He's one of those banded pigeons. And, you know, I guess they use him for racing pigeons. He wound up, a hawk actually had him in his clutches. And was going to eat this motherfucker. And I guess a lady saw it and went, scared the hawk off, and the hawk dropped him and was able to scoop him up because he was startled. He wasn't injured at all. He lucked out. He was, you know, seconds from getting his face ripped off, his guts ripped out or whatever. And so they brought him there or whatever, but he's a cool-looking pigeon. With the banded pigeons, the racing pigeons, what they actually do is, you know, people buy the pigeons for racing, whatever hobby, I guess they time them or something like that. And what they do is they drive them off however many miles or whatever from their house, and they release these pigeons. And then I guess the race goes, you know, whatever pigeon makes it back to the destination, which I guess their house or wherever they're, you know, training them at or whatever, that's the winner. if a pigeon doesn't make it back and someone calls in the band and brings it back to them type thing, they just kill them. They, like, break their neck or some shit because they're worthless to them. What they want them for is the racing and that hobby. So if you return a pigeon back to the person whose it is, they're just going to kill it because they're worth nothing to them at that point. They were there for that hobby and that hobby only. So, you know, when we get them, we more or less try to find some kind of rescues for them to go to. And, you know, wasn't any available. So, you know, I thought about it and thought about it. I ended up taking him. So he's cool as shit. Like I said, I named him Tyson because I figured, you know, it's a cool-looking pigeon and shit, and Mike Tyson had pigeons. So, you know, people love naming fucking pit bulls and shit after Mike Tyson, Tyson the pit bull and this and that. But I figured, you know, semi-comical. I like to name my birds kind of comically, which will bring me to my next one. So this is Tyson. But the other one, he actually came in. He's another banded pigeon, but this guy had a broken wing. He was just walking around on the side of the road, and he's a big, jacked-up, gray, actually from New York pigeon. So I'm guessing he flew from there. I don't know. But, you know, his band traces back to New York, and he's big and jacked up, and he's got a huge beak. So I named him Goodman because he's big and jacked up and from New York with a huge beak. So he's got his wing splinted, you know, just like bandage wrapped, and he's got to stay on like cage rest for a month. And then, you know, once the bandage comes off, maybe he'll be able to fly again, maybe not. Either way, he could chill out in my pen out there and shit. But yeah, so those are the two. I brought him home on my birthday because, you know, the weather had started to take a, you know, a better turn. So, you know, that was cool, you know, bringing him out there. Like I said, I tried my little run thing. That didn't fucking work at all. Said, all right, fuck it. You know what sucks, too? Like, I know it's just completely my mentality, but I've never had to, like, stop running and walk home. And I just hit that, like, 2.5K, and I'm just like, I'm just fucking, like, running through mud. Like, I have no energy. I have no lungs for this, nothing. I'm just like, fuck, man. Just hit the stop on the pedometer and shit and just started walking home. And I'm walking home just, like, feeling just like a complete failure. I'm just like, I know every car that passes me just knows this motherfucker just failed at running. And, of course, I'm just some fucking dude walking. But I'm just like, dude, it's got to be, like, fucking all over me. Just like, this motherfucker was trying to run, wasn't he? I was like, this is some bullshit, man. So, anyway, I did that whole thing. I got Bubba Coos burrito for dinner. Banging ass burritos. If you got one of those things near you, hit it up. That shit's off the fucking chain. It's somewhat of a chain, speaking of chains. It's kind of Jersey Shore, so I think they got like three of them, four of them, something like that. But they're really good, well-made burritos, not that bullshit. And I will actually hit up that other bullshit in just a second. But so then that night, I went and I saw the Muppets, because I'm a huge Muppet mark. So I went and I saw the Muppets Most Wanted and shit. You know, I'd heard some different reviews, and people said that they didn't like it. It wasn't as good as the first one and this and this. And, I mean, personally, I disagree. I don't know, man. Like, I liked it. As far as the Muppet comedy goes, got that type of thing. They had Ricky Gervais in it, who's one of the main characters, you know, a villain, whatever. You know, they start out in the movie, and he wants to be their agent. He's trying to, you know, trick them, whatever. They say, you know, I want to be your agent. He hands him a card that says, Dominic, bad guy. And he's like, bad guy? He's like, no, it's bad guy. It's French, or, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's that type of, you know, Muppet comedy, just that, you know, their jokes and shit like that. It's standard Muppet type stuff. So to me, like, it was well written. The plot was good. It was, they more or less took like a Kermit that had a mole on his face, and he was like the number one criminal, most wanted criminal in the world. And he was, you know, they start off the movie with him just like taking a whole prison out, just fucking running shit in a gulag and fucking breaking out. And, you know, he's at large and all that. So he puts like the green paint on his mole and then switches place with Kermit, and then boom, you got the whole thing. But the way that dude, his name was Constantine, the fake Kermit. The way he was written in the movie to me was just hilarious. I mean, his voice was crazy. He sounded like Borat mixed with Kermit the Frog. And I just thought it was fucking genius. It was funny as hell, you know, and just the fact that, like, no one was catching on and he was talking like fucking Borat. And I just thought it was well done, you know. Same old thing with the Muppet movies, you know, a bunch of cameos, you know, songs, the whole thing. So I thought it was good. I liked it. I'm all for, you know, more Muppet movies being made, and I think they're doing them really well. That's, I think Jason Segel or whatever the fuck, he made the it all have to do with making the first one, and then did the same thing with the second one. So, but yeah, I thought it was good. I recommend it to any Muppet marks out there. I don't know how many listen to the show, but anyway. So I was saying too about this this other thing as far as burritos and things of that nature. I feel like there is just far, far too much fat pride out there. And, I mean, this crosses so many different genres that I just find that there's, like, this big, like, fat people are just, like, morbidly obese and fat people are just really puffing their chest out like it's a fucking good thing. And to the point of actually talking down towards other people who actually take care of themselves. And I just don't understand it. I feel like at some point, you know, people got to be put back in their place or something because it's just, it's fucking disgusting. You know, they have these commercials now for the Taco Bell. It's like a fucking waffle and a taco and shit, and you're supposed to eat that for breakfast and blow your fucking asshole out by noon. I just don't understand why someone, now, like, I understand fast food for a few reasons. One, you're traveling and you really don't have a lot of options, or just like in a pinch, you're out, that's all that's available, fine. Or if you're a child, then that's the greatest thing in the world because, you know, it really appeals well to kids. I mean, McDonald's when you're a kid is just the best thing in the world. I mean, you know, my three girls, I mean, they see those arches from fucking miles away. And it's like, oh, my God, can we get that? That would be the best thing in the world. And I don't know. I mean, just me, and it's not just from the standpoint of, like, I'm a super healthy guy. I've become, you know, far more healthy eating, you know, recently or whatever. But the shit just taste-wise doesn't appeal to me. And to just be like, that's the fucking shit right there, I can't even fathom it. I don't understand it. I don't understand a shitty cheesesteak. I don't understand a shitty burger. I don't understand a shitty burrito. And I don't understand where it becomes like, oh, my God, I can't fucking – there's nothing else I could do right now but think about this disgusting, slimy piece of shit on my TV. And it's like whatever it looks like on your TV, which to me still looks disgusting, is fucking twice as good as what you're actually going to get handed in that shit fucking establishment. Personally, like, I will never eat Taco Bell. There's no fucking way. When I was younger, I went to Taco Bell, not really frequently, but, you know, a handful of times. And one of the times I was watching them make this shit, and it was just fucking gross. And that was one of the last times I ever did Taco Bell. And they got, like, the meat, like the, I guess, ground beef, if it's that, in a bag. It's in a plastic fucking bag. And they cut the corner off this shit and squeeze it out like cake icing. That's what they do. And then they got like a caulk gun for the fucking sour cream and shit. Like, it's just gross. Shit doesn't even look like that's food. I mean, there's shit that you can be using to like construct a fucking patio that has the same methods of being dispensed. You know what I mean? Like, it's fucking gross. So to me, I don't see the appeal. And like I said, the shit's horrible. And you know, this fat pride shit goes to the level where they just get used to shitting their brains out because the food's horrible, and then they're like, well, I guess I'm just going to fucking shit water for a while. It's just like, are you not fucking embarrassed with yourself that you're looking forward to eating something that's going to run through you and have you shitting like a fucking goose? It doesn't make any fucking sense to me. It really fucking bothers me just because it's like, all right, like I said, in a pinch, in this, in that, eating something and going, hey, that wasn't that bad. But just running a fucking commercial, I said it years ago when they did the thing at Kentucky Fried Chicken. What the fuck was that piece of shit called? The fucking, I don't know, like the fucking, oh, what was it called? It was, fuck? I don't know. But it was like fucking like pieces of chicken with like fucking cheese and bacon and shit in the middle. Like there was no fucking bread. They just added more fucking meat and it was fucking gross and stacked, like double stacked fucking fried chicken. People just like putting their fat fucking hands around greasy chicken on top of other chicken with cheese and bacon and shit. Just like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Like, there's no pride left in your life. You guys are just completely accepting failure at this point and just be like, this is all I want. It's just, it's fucking bad. I really just can't have that mindset. And there's people that actually go to the extent, like, if you don't fucking like this, I don't know what the fuck you're about. Like, wow. The most recently, what I've kind of, you know, stumbled on as far as what I eat in the morning, at least maybe about the last week or 2 weeks, I've been on the Thomas's. They make the English muffins. They make bagels, too. And, yeah, you could buy them in, like, a big pack. So, you know, it's easy to bagel and cream cheese in the morning, you know, throw that in a, you know, Tupperware, bring it to work. So they make, and I think it's limited right now, but they make banana bread bagels. So I was doing, you know, banana bread bagel and cream cheese and shit in the morning. And then I started bringing some, because, you know, I've gotten real big on fruit in the past year. But obviously, fucking wintertime is a horrible time for fruit. So I just recently I said, hey, you know, let me try some of this canned stuff. So I started getting, like, the pineapple rings. Then I had to brainstorm, like, yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, inventing the wheel over here. I'm sure it's been done. But banana bread bagel, cream cheese on it, pop that shit open and throw a pineapple ring on it. It's the fucking best thing in the world. You know what I mean? Like, I eat that shit. I'm in fucking heaven every day. I'm just bang that bagel out with the fucking pineapple ring on it. Jesus Christ. It's fantastic. And just thinking to myself, like, man, someone else is really just fucking drooling over the thought of eating a fucking waffle wrapped around fucking meat squeezed out of a fucking plastic bag. Like, holy shit, dude. I don't understand it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just becoming one of those fucking people that people are like, you fuck that healthy eating motherfuckers. Give me fucking, can you put another Whopper on my Whopper? Yeah, do that shit. Oh, you can add fake bacon. Yeah, do that shit too. Bacon sauce. Give me bacon sauce. Like, fucking Jesus Christ. So I don't know. It just doesn't appeal to me. Like, I love the fuck out of like a really good fucking steak or a banging ass cheesesteak. People, these fucking low rent cheesesteaks that people, you know, fucking, they talk about this shit like it's the best thing ever. And they go to these greasy ass disgusting cheesesteak joints. I go over here to the German butcher and get the bangin'est fucking cheesesteak. There's little strips of actual steak in that motherfucker. It's not that manwich shit. You know, you get that with the onions and mushrooms and peppers and actual little strips of steak in there. We used to get that shit every month before we went to Philly to go to CZW. We would stop right up the road from my house at the German butcher before we drove 2 hours to Philly with their stupid fucking famous cheesesteaks. Fucking overrated bullshit. I don't know. I like good food, and I don't give a fuck where it's coming from, but I definitely go out of my way to steer away from just absolute horrible commercial bullshit. But they have a hell of a way of drawing the fatties in to the point where they're fucking status happy. They go fucking bananas when it comes down to this stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. I just can't subscribe to it. I really can't. What else do I have? Also, just completely random. The other day, sometime last week, we had a flood at work somewhat. You know, they had a main pipe break in the office and just flood the shit out of the office. And the computer, like one of the computer towers sits on the floor, so that shit is fucked. And the guy who they have, who they call to work on the computers, his name is Noah. So the funniest phone call I overhear, the office woman call Noah and say, yeah, Noah, yeah, there's been a flood. And I couldn't stop fucking laughing. I don't know how many times you're actually going to hear that as the start to a phone conversation, that, yeah, Noah, yeah, there's been a flood. I just started fucking cracking up. They didn't even get why I was laughing until like a minute later I got off the phone and explained. But yeah, just funny shit to me. I have a bunch of different wrestling shit to go into. I think I'm going to take a break. Let me see what I got, 9:25. Let me go into this other thing first, too, because another topic I had thought I was going to brush on. I'm sorry if, you know, I'm boring people that wanted to hear about wrestling, but for the most part, hearing my, you know, my semi-educated opinion on wrestling, you know, it's not the be-all, end-all. So my opinion on other things might be just as valuable. I don't know. Just bear with me. It's only a, you know, 2-hour show or so. But I had come across the topic. I was ranting and raving about it last week or the week before, and not on the show, but and it's something that I've been, for years, I've had a very strong opinion on, actually, since my childhood. And it's becoming a continuous topic, and someone brought it up on Facebook the other day and had a lot to say about it, so I figured, you know, touch on that. And that's Ritalin and the ADD epidemic that parents have pretty much subscribed to over the years. To me, it's a complete cop-out of parenting. It's really a horrible way of parenting. I don't think it's a real thing. There's a possibility of it being that. To my knowledge, I don't think there is. I think there are bigger problems, and people like to just prescribe medication, just pour medication on the problem, more or less. Just like, you know, some things people throw money at the problem. That's the same kind of, you know, mentality. And I think it's a very weak mentality and a cop-out mentality as a parent. Now, I'll go back to my childhood and be 100% honest about this shit. My parents put me on fucking Ritalin when I was a kid and thought I had ADD because I wasn't paying attention in school. Well, truth be told, my father was an alcoholic, really didn't, you know, pay any positive attention to me, just kind of did his own thing, you know, was just some completely closed off to any, you know, influence or raising me, never taught me anything, just kind of existed. My mother, you know, stayed with him for all that time because there was no other way. I mean, it was more or less how the bills were going to get paid was the two of them were going to stay together and make it work the best they could, and then the bills were going to get paid or whatever. So she did, you know, what she could as far as more or less being a single mother but still married, you know, because she was the only one, you know, actually contributing to, you know, the raising of myself and my brother. And that's kind of the way it went as far as that went. So there wasn't any fulfillment or there wasn't any, you know, positive encouragement of anything that was supposed to be happening at home. In school, for whatever reason, I was always a cast out. I didn't fit into any group. Yeah, obviously I've become pretty athletic now, but I didn't know I was even athletic until I was 18 plus and when I actually moved up north. I had no idea. I never fit into any of those groups. I got my ass kicked, you know what I mean? And, you know, it was like the, you know, I'm not going to cry about it and all that, but it was more or less, it was like the bullying situation. And it was, man, I got my ass kicked a lot. But you had that type of thing to worry about, and there was no, like, fitting into any group for me. So in the same token, you know, the schoolwork's getting put in front of me. Whatever thoughts I had about what was going on at home wasn't sitting well with me. And then what was going on around me in school wasn't sitting well with me. You know, school is a very social experience and a very social environment. It's actually, you know, it's your first opportunity to venture outside of your home and meet a large group of people. You obviously later do it in the workplace. You later do it in, you know, various different situations. But school is like your first chance to be accepted or not accepted or find where you kind of fall into society. And I was cast out of that whole thing. So me, I was just like, fuck it. You know what I mean? And I couldn't pay attention in school because I didn't give a shit. There was bigger shit going on in my mind as I'm growing up and trying to, you know, find where I'm going to fit in. So that's 100% why I couldn't pay attention. So, you know, they fed me the Ritalin, and they, you know, they told me I couldn't have, like, any caffeine or any of that stuff, and that fucking cheap-ass lemon soda. Not even, like, actual 7-Up or Sprite. Like, that cheap-ass, like, ShopRite lemon soda. I've drank fucking tanker trucks full of that garbage as a child. Oh, my God, it was fucking horrendous. But that's 100% what the problem was. And their excuse for it, rather than trying to, work on the actual problem at hand with the alcoholic father and the different, you know, social situations through school and figuring out what wasn't going wrong, it was just like pour medication on it and say that that's the problem. And I think doctors are quick to medicate. You can go into doctors and, tell them, I'm not in a good mood, and I'm just sad. And they'll be like, okay, we'll give you medication for depression. And, like, you can do that. It's a weak way out, and doctors will feed into that. That's a little bit more than a second. But so that's the way I feel it is. And, you know, they sometimes go for the hyperactivity in children and stuff. And to me, it's just a complete cop-out on other things that you're supposed to be doing as a parent. They say that the kid's too active, that the kid's too hyper, this and that. So you'd start medicating them, and you start leading them down a path of altering their mood and their mind state. So as they get to the age of being a teenager, now they're used to their mind and mood being altered. So it kind of lays the groundwork once they're able to get their hands on different recreational things to try the waters out, see how this affects my mood, see how this affects my mind. And I think it just starts a ball rolling, which, you know, could very well, I mean, kids could fall into, you know, the drug scene or all that stuff. And, it can happen many different ways. But as far as that, I think that really lays the groundwork for bad stuff to come. And, that I never, like, fell into any, like, real hard shit early. But, you know, I tried my handful of stuff over the years and was able to, you know, kind of run the gamut of a bunch of different things and, you know, come out on top at this point. But I think it's a bad, bad thing. And a lot of times, too, you know, the hyperactivity, you keep trying to tone the kid down. By the time, you know, teens are, you know, 15... 13, 14, 15, 16, all the way through their adult life, people are going out of their way to drink 18 energy drinks, and they're going out of their way to take this to up themselves. So why are we trying to downgrade these kids' energy so much when they're small, and then immediately when they have their own, you know, their own thought process? Well, they're trying to pick themselves back up now. Now they're trying to, you know, drink as many monsters and, you know, 5-hour energies and this and that. So it just seems like a very backwards way of doing things. I mean, half of these parents are banging out 5-hour energies in between trying to tone their kids down. So I just think it's a very weak-minded way to try to parent. I think it's a complete cop-out. And, you know, I just kind of want to share my opinion on that with everybody. And to go off of that, too, like I said, with the doctors, that weak mentality quickly goes into adult life. Now, there's people with, you know, serious mental issues, and obviously, you know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But there's a lot of people that just don't have grit anymore. They just don't have that mental toughness to get themselves through what's bothering them, what's going on with them, to try to, you know, focus on the problems. People just fall into their own holes, their own just mental depression. But even the word depression, it just goes so far. You allow it to carry a lot more weight than it actually has just by calling it depression, because now it's a disease, or now it's, yeah, a sickness, you know what I mean? Rather than just, man, I'm in a bad mood today, it's like, man, I'm really depressed. That shit is already worse just by you calling it that. And like I say, you go into the doctors, you go, oh, I'm really sad, I'm really this, I'm really that, and they kind of look at you like, just give me the word, I'm really depressed. Well, okay, we could try you on this, we could try you on this. I mean, I just would think that the best possible way to live, and ideally, and of course, you know, it's not that easy it's not as easy as just saying it, but to at least have the mentality that I want to be able to live life happy without substance. Now, that's, you know, I mean, you can go all the way down the line to, you know, the altering substances, the alcohols and stuff like that, because, you know, for years I was doing that thing. And it's craziness. It's, you know, hey, my favorite movie's coming out, you know, sequel to my favorite movie, or my favorite video game's coming out, the new one, and I got to get really fucked up so I could play it. Like, why would you have to get fucked up for something you really want to do? You know what I mean? It's a crazy mentality, but this is kind of the path that a lot of us go, and we trick ourselves into believing that, you know, a medication or a substance is going to fix everything, and it's just crazy. I mean, to have fun with, you know, whatever you're into or whatever, that's completely fine, but the mentality that you need a drug in order to be in a good mood is kind of silly shit, and I just hate to see kids being forced down that path early, because when the parents make that decision, that's just what the kid's going to be on, to the point of, like, they'll send your kid home from school if they're not taking their meds, you know what I mean? Like, they're forcibly medicated because there's no option. You're prescribed this, you have to take this, this is your life. And it's just, I don't know. Like I said, I just kind of wanted to share that opinion, you know, with everybody, because it's a continuous thing. It hasn't gone away. It's nothing that's been disproven or anything, because I think cop-out parents are never going to go away. I mean, that's just something that's going to be part of life always. People always want the easy way out. The harder way is going to be harder, but it's also the better way of doing things. And that, I mean, that's for most things, you know, for doing what you got to do at the gym, just like C.T. Fletcher says, you know. There is no 10-minute abs that's going to get you fucking shredded abs. There's no 15-minute, you know, arms that's going to get you all jacked up and shit. You want to work, you can fucking work. You got to put in work. All of that overnight this, overnight that, it's all bullshit. But that sounds like the easiest way. And, of course, it's marketable, because who doesn't want to just fucking hit a button and have something done? Or who doesn't want to just snap their fingers or take a pill and then, boom, the work for that at all? You know, theoretically, that's great. But in the long run, you're still way behind your actual goals, because you actually have to work at something to get it. So, you know, I just try to encourage people out there to, like, don't push your kids down that fucking road. You know, it's a failed mentality that, you know, you might have subscribed to as an adult, but don't get your kids fucking going on that shit, because it's not going to end. It's going to carry on into their, you know, adult life, and it's already being trained into their mind that that's okay, that that's the right way to go about things. So that's that. I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. Let me take a break and try to pull up some of these cards, talk about a couple things. Oh, and I have some other things to talk about too. So, all right, some help to Skelter. I'll be back.
Hey, yo, son. Hey, yo, come downstairs, son. It's like six bitch-ass niggas on the corner, son. These niggas is rapping, kicking raps and shit. Can't tell these niggas they ain't hype. They punk, smooth bullshit. Just meet me downstairs, son. I'ma set it on these niggas, son. These niggas have no idea, son. Check it. And one time for your mind. One time for listeners dropping dime. Me don't wanna hear your whine when my nine through your spine climbed this rocky mountain. Energies from my fountain. A few running through my brain pounding. So don't be found in my clutches. If you don't know who fuck is, and you don't know who Dutch is, don't get snuffed if we cause ruckus. And rock mad, don't while we got it. Who's the first up to see blackness like the universe?
Fuck that. Niggas better start running for shelter. Live the record and I tell neck that nigga from Helter Skelter. Wrote him up, I murdered ducks who never heard a ruck. Lost my mind, ills on rhyme skills with the nine that I buck.
Blah.
Girls demand me, mad bitches, I slam me. Microphone, you hand me till a judge remand me.
What?
Can we?
What?
Get along like Rodney, you rock, please.
What?
Put these niggas in their proper place, cause you cocky.
I be the drama, bring a ring, a rubber nigga's neck. Wreck a rubber set, I buck shot with a steel tech. Pussy, with all them suckers talking trash about the R&R.
They heard it coming, they turn the tracks off.
Check it. I be never sloppy. I be rocky. I rock heads from bedrock to Yugoslavia. You're robbing you and your crew blind. Yeah, we do crime. Fine, now that's a new spine. terminal behind, now you whine. But you'll stop the blood glass crying like scooping. I in the mood to bash your eyes in. That was the snow who I am. Madman from Helter Skelter, Mr. Flip the Rock, Rants and Obscene.
As the world turns in my search for tomorrow, I seek to God in life for some insight. Freaky like a golden shower in my golden barrel. Hit instrumentals, get influential like Colin Powell. Now, fuck the world, stick my dick in the dirt. Full tools on tools who claim I ain't cool like Levert. Expert when I network my lyrics like a rebel. Sex to the devil, never take me to that next level. It's never humble in asphalt jungles. But you sling rocks and Ricans and bag them with bundles. Some may wonder the evil these two men do torment you. Lyrical landlord, your fucking rent.
All y'all bitch niggas can suck my dick. Click, pop, talk about you and your mom. Can't none of y'all niggas fuck with me and my man. Hey yo, one's for the shots I pop. Two's for the anti-real snakes I fought and dropped. Three's for the irrational rock, bitch. I be rockin' the fourth for hip-hop, cause with this shit we rip shop. Actually I file, I am man. You know damn well it was me that hit your bitch up in my man's van. Flex your grandpops and like corn on pop shit you can't flush. Fucking with us, you smack with hops, bitch. Who dare swear would rock me, I break you. Three times worse than a bumper glider quake through. Helter Skelter's hectic, hit the dentic step if you wanna hit your neck, lick. See this center, don't really play no basketball. I do my shooting with a motherfucking Mac, you fall. Through the floor, OGC, hit up everything that comes through the door. Recognize Helter Skelter means war.
So what's the reason for the treason? Punk, you wanna die? My mind crucify those who try to defy. God, cipher divine, drop bombs on the blind. In the mood to get ruined with the lyrics instead of my nine. Now why? Want a nigga to come with hand skills. Man, chill. Might end up in the landfill. Stand still. Nigga, you know the position. Clocks clicking for niggas who ain't got pots to pissin'. Plus I get hype when my mic strikes. When pipes making rockets this tight.
There'll never be no fist fight.
Yo, lip pokes with my fifth smokes. The rich folks who sniff coke. Now your bitch broke, ain't no misquote. I just spoke wicked ways with words of wisdom. Like Cyclops, like pop, like shots with ill vision. Similar to none, son, so it fucking seems. Savages get sold the fuck up with shots till they sling.
All y'all bitch niggas can suck my dick. Click, pop, cruise and clam. Can't none of y'all niggas fuck with me and my man. Clan, pop, cruise and click. All y'all bitch niggas can suck my dick. Click, pop, cruise and clam. Can't none of y'all niggas fuck with me and my man. Clan, pop, cruise and click. All y'all bitch ass niggas can suck my dick. Click.
Who was big and they could get booked on shows. I was always the first guy to get there and probably the last to leave. I didn't really give a shit about anything. I just went to work. And I literally went out, banged somebody's chick. You think I reached out to them? No. They reached out to me. All right? And as a promoter, I'd like to exploit some of those guys.
Yeah, so over this weekend, like I said, a bunch of big wrestling shows coming up. Thursday, they got Evolve. This is all in New Orleans out there. And on Evolve, they have Hero against Trent Beretta. Let me see. I'm not going to read every match on these cards. I'm, you know, I don't work for these companies. Or any company, for that matter. Johnny Gargano versus Rich Swann. That should be a good one. Shea versus Tony Nese, Gulak versus Biff Busick, AR Fox, Caleb Conley, and they got a bunch more too. Then the next night starts their Dragon Gate shows. Apparently something happened with their Dragon Gate talent. They were supposed to have, you know, the Japanese guys, and something happened where they missed a deadline or something like that. I didn't even look into, like I said, I don't do fucking research because, you know, that's the thing to do. I'll get into that later, but now, like I said, I really didn't look too far into it, and but I'm also not going to misspeak on the topic. But it's, you know, something happened where, you know, one way or another, the bookings weren't possible to get the guys they wanted to, so they ended up getting replacements. Replacements being, let me see, they have, I believe, AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels and Masato Tanaka and I'm trying to see, because I think, I'm not sure if they updated this card. Strange. So, yeah, anyway, the title match they have is Johnny Gargano versus Ricochet. And see, I don't even know if this is right, because I know they got Low Ki coming back. And well, let me just go back to their main page and see this here. Yeah, it's strange. Like, they didn't update what their actual cards are. Let me see. Complete schedule. Let's see if this helps me at all. Don't really know. Huh. Well, no, that's not helping me. So, yeah, Loki's going to be back there. I know he's supposed to wrestle Johnny Gargano one night, and he's supposed to wrestle Trent Beretta another night. That much I know. Like I said, they're not really showing me their actual lineups on their page, because why would you do that? That sounds silly. Like I said, a bunch of good matches on the card, though. Let me see. I don't know. Fucking with the tablet is ridiculous, because it just jumps around. You touch the wrong thing, and then you're on that page. So that's more or less what I'm dealing with there. But yeah, they got a bunch of good shit. I mean, I could just put it in the least professional way as possible right there. And that's what's up there. Just go to DGUSA-TV, or .TV, I should say, and check out what they got going on there. Bunch of different things. And then as far as Ring of Honor also has, on Friday, April 4th, they have Adam Cole versus Jay Briscoe in a ladder match for the ROH Championship. Kevin Steen versus Michael Elgin. Tommaso Ciampa versus Jay Lethal. Mark Briscoe versus Mike Bennett. Red Dragon versus Rocky Romero and Alex Kozlov. Yeah, I mean, they got a bunch of stuff lined up, too. You can actually see with the CZW, I know they have, like, a WrestleCon card, and it's not, like, an actual CZW show, but I guess partially promoted by that through DJ and whatnot. I know Kevin Steen had some issue with the way it was being worded, because he's booked against Masato Tanaka, and, you know, DJ announced it before anyone else, so he got all pissed off and mentioned it on the shoot. He's on a, you know, continuous mentioning CZW as a joke on his Kevin Steen shows, so that's just kind of what he does. But on that show, on the actual WrestleCon show, they have Luke Hawk, Shane Helms, and Cassidy Riley versus Steve Corino, Matt Stryker, and Adam Pearce. Sid Vicious versus Doug Gilbert. Steen versus Masato Tanaka. Jeff Jarrett versus Colt Cabana. They have DJ Hyde versus Masada. Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae versus Sojo Bolt and Jake Manning. Drew Gulak, Chris Hero, and Michael Elgin in a three-way. They said also Frankie Kazarian and Chris Daniels will be there. I think they were actually the ones, they were subbed in over at Dragon Gate. I think those two, as well as, I want to say AJ as well. I wish I had the original article. I figure I would just pull up the page where they talked about having the just the card line. I'm sorry, I'm distracted. I got my my four-year-olds just decided they did not want to be in bed anymore at almost 10 o'clock. So they're bugging out and a little distracted. So, yeah. But a bunch of people are going to be in the building that day, too. Sting, Mickey James, Terry Funk, Kurt Angle, Edge, Scott Hall, Bret Hart, Bobby Heenan. Just crazy shit. So, yeah, big, big wrestling weekend. And, you know, definitely looking forward to some of it. So there's got to be, you know, some classics coming out of that weekend with all that talent down there. that's what's going on there. I'm going to take another break. Pull up the WrestleMania card and other stuff that I got to talk about, and then you know, come back with that. All right, check it.
On my Harlem niggas, my BK niggas, back uptown, baby, Lenox Ave. My Oye's on Broadway all day. Hey yo, you love the way I rap black, step F that. But we have a gun to test that, respect that. Any girl I met that, hit that. Love the way I spit that, I don't kick that. Push your big back, get your shit snap, get your ribs cracked. Got a front habit, kick that, dip that, sit back. School shit, skip that. Learn how to flip pack for the big stacks and the big act. Now I got the big act, flip black, since day one, been in a ditch, kin with a snitch. Now I'm in the pen in the mix, friends sending me flicks. Girl sending me kicks, been in some shit. Had to tap a chin with a bitch. Put the bang out and brew 'em. Begin with a stitch, end with a kiss. Yo, old, so I blend in the mix. Now they don't go by, I ain't bending the chick. 8 1/2 on the dope, ex Dominican rich. Winning the rich, eating on cinnamon grits. Grinning and shit, how a nigga spinning a six. See, they all say be 12, but you see me with it. TV's in it, BB kidding. Ask who it is, you see me pinning. I did drive by, now I take you on top of a high rise. See if you can skydive. I bring it to you at your local gymnasium. How about the Palladium? Fuck it, can't you save it? Play people, jumped up and sprayed people. I got jewelers that'll jig you with the AIDS needle. You're not a threat. You want it? You got a bet. I leave your mama and your papa wet, nigga, when I'm upset. I go another route. Kidnap your family, make your brother eat your mother out. After I done dug her out. Needles to drug her out. Pillow to smother out. You don't give a fuck about. I'm with a thug about. I grew with it. Your crew ain't even true with it. I seen your man, he like, nothing to do with it. I know you pack like that, but Cam, why you act like that? Shut up, nigga. Crack a clap. Pat, pat, pat. Ratchet, attack. Prepare for envy, nigga. I'm not a fair Benny. I'm leaving nigga black and blue like a fair penny. While me and Betta, throw fiesta, bala maqueta, chiqueta, monero, fiesta. Don't ever fuck around with the Donchetta. See Jimmy Jones fronting in the chancleta. Or the black boots jumping out the act cool. Cars never leave them, girls tease them. My man Matt Wifey want me down with the threesome. Niggas tease them, bitches please them. When I'm out of town, yo, my pants gotta crease them. All cars valid, never hard malice. Dallas, ran up in your favorite star salad. Coward, right on my hoes like Marv Albert. But you should thank unknown, could've made you run, no. Been at your front door, gun ho, fun, no.
Yo, what's up? What the fuck is wrong with you,
man,
yo?
Man, fuck that, that's not a game,
yo,
man.
Yo, you ain't gotta be rhyming for niggas like
man,
that.
Man, fuck them niggas,
you know what
I'm
saying? Yo, you know what you do?
What?
Tell these niggas the real deal, alright?
Alright, check it.
Hey, yo, I'm crooked in fact, pick up the crack. Every time you look up a gat, got you shook up a tat, huh? Looking it back? Nah, the guns I had put in the back. I want to hook up and chat on this book of the rap. Now I'm not saying what I like or what I dislike, but get the fuck out my face till your shit's right. See, baby boy, I carry guns, you know the big type. The kind that might get you a 10-year bid light. And I was just like y'all flipping 100 packs. But nowadays, I'm the owner, you a running back. You got to understand, baby, I'm done with the crack. I get pure white coke from Colombian tax. Off the cocaine plant, leave your whole brain dead. Like this herb, don't mean to disturb. Never been to Sesame Street, but I flip a big bird. And I know stealers, and they not from Pittsburgh. No kids rapping, I ostriches. Just kidnappings and hostages. So y'all better obey, we shoot the pro way. Mess with us? No way. Now go ahead, go play.
All right. The other thing I wanted to get into a little bit was this Trash Bag Wrestlers page that they have on Facebook. Now, I've said in the past many times that all of these anonymous fucking shadowed profiles that people hide behind, you know, zero identities and whatever picture they want to put on there. So their names, nothing has to be exposed, and they can just completely bury whoever they want. Initially, when I liked the page or whatever you got to do to get on the page, it was because, you know, the stuff I was seeing on there was, you know, just people in ridiculous outfits and just looked completely unprofessional, like backyarders, and just looked really funny. And for the most part, that's still what it is. And it's just like people who, you know, in my opinion, and I think that's kind of the opinion or personas that were being put out there, is people who kind of make a mockery of the business or don't belong in there or anything like that. And people just like make the business look bad by looking the way that they look and attempting things that actually, you know, people work really hard to, you know, be a part of and all that. So that's what it was. And then, you know, over time I've seen a bunch of different people be included on there that I just think is fucked up. And people who are legitimate wrestlers, and these guys just don't do, or this guy doesn't do any research. Now, I mean, you can see that clearly by some of the people who have been, you know, put on there over time, that, man, there must be limited research. Well, this time around, he posted Matt Tremont on there. And I commented on it, and I got into it with this dude on there because, you know, I do really respect Matt Tremont, but it actually went a little further because, well, I'll kind of go into, you know, part of what got it started, what got the ball rolling on this was, you know, I'm just reading over the comments, and, you know, I've seen this happen before where it's like, oh, that guy doesn't belong in there at all, and then, you know, what the fuck, and let me just see what people say. So as I'm going down, all of a sudden yeah, I see people saying, you know, he's a deathmatch wrestler. Like, what do you, you know, what do you want? You know, he's got a T-shirt and jeans on, whatever. And then Peter B. Beautiful decides to chime in. He thinks really highly of his own work before. Like, I've had him as a friend on Facebook and gotten to lengthy discussions and arguments with him over, you know, just dumb shit on the internet probably years ago now. But, he thinks really highly of his own work, which, as far as I'm concerned, he might have done some things that he's impressed with, or maybe a few other people around him are. But as far as I know, and most people I've ever talked to know, if you know who he is at all, it's only from when Ian Rotten beat the living shit out of him on at least two occasions. So that's really all he's known for. And, unless, you know, possibly in his own world. And so he chimes in and says, I work a shit ton of death matches, and I always wear gear. And, of course, the trash bag wrestler guy fucking likes that post. So I'm just like, fuck this, you know. And I just made the comment saying, you know, the thought that Peter B. Beautiful is a higher class of wrestler by some meaning better because he wears gear is hilarious. And I said, I thought this page, like I was just saying, I thought this page was about, you know, people who had no place in the business, not just everybody who doesn't wear spandex is a shithead, you know, and this should be, I guess, a spandex fan page, if that's the way it's going to go. And because personally, I don't like this. I absolutely hate the thought process that the only way someone's a professional is if they wear fucking panties in the ring. And I just don't understand. Like, I think that's some homosexual fetish. Like, I really do. I don't, like, think that people who wear, you know, wrestling tights or any of that, I don't just say, oh, everyone's gay that wears it. I'm just saying, like, the thought process that nobody's professional unless they wear that, I think is ridiculous. I mean, I would prefer not to see people in that, but I know the majority of wrestlers, that's going to be their attire. However, I also think a lot of creativity and a lot of personality comes out of someone's wrestling gear that isn't just the standard fucking underwear and shit. Picture one of the hottest angles in the WWE right now. Picture the Wyatt family all just fucking wrestling in nothing but spandex. How fucking ridiculous would it be?
And how hard would it be for them to get their gimmick over just looking like that? If everybody just wrestled in fucking spandex and fucking man panties and shit and ran around in that, how fucking hard would it be for them to get themselves over as legitimate backwoods fucking, you know, cult followers? I think damn near impossible. I don't think you can take that same person and go, well, shit, he'd be a lot more professional with tights on. Like, that's a dumb mentality, in my opinion. So I think when you start going down that road and just saying, like, fuck that, he's not wearing this, so therefore, here's what I think he is. And, you know, it just goes on and on. And OMG, the wrestler OMG, he, you know, chimed in and said some things, you know, too. It's just, like, bullshit. And Tremont's, you know, very professional, and there's no reason to, you know, put him on there. And I brought up, too, don't forget, they put J.C. Bailey on here after he passed away, and, you know, and then a bunch of people, including myself, you know, told him, like, you're a fucking shitbag. The guy's dead. You're going to put him on there as a trash bag wrestler? What the fuck is wrong with you? You know what I mean? And then later that day, he took it down. So then this fucking guy types to me this. J-Cat, the fact that you even bring up JC is reprehensible. When I posted JC, I had no clue he had passed away. I left the page for a few hours only to come back and see the outrage. I immediately removed the picture and posted an apology, considering the picture was submitted. The real person who was shit was the person who sent it in. So then I responded with, well, I'm reprehensible because I brought up something extremely disrespectful you did, and your defense is that you were uninformed because you do no research on who you're calling trash. It's real easy to bury and judge someone you want under an anonymous profile so a bunch of marks can like your post, and maybe, you know, them patting you on the back helps you with your insecurity, but don't tell me what's reprehensible, you fucking troll. And then I also added, you know, you also put brain damage on here after his passing too, jerk off. Like, that's, you know, it didn't begin and end with JC. JC wasn't the only one he did that to. You know, and then he goes back and forth with me, and he says straight up, I do not do research. Like, that's like a stand he's taking. Like, I do not do research. No way am I doing research. And I just think it's an extremely irresponsible and unprofessional way to run a page about anything, whether you're making jokes or not. I mean, if you're completely uninformed about the topic that you're joking on, I think that you shouldn't be doing it. I really don't. You know, obviously, you can have an opinion on thing, and that's fine, but to just completely do no research and, you know, to say that, oh, it's all about the gear and this and that, and it isn't about their work, bullshit. You call someone a trash bag wrestler, you're saying that they're trash in the business. You're not saying that their gear is fucked up and, you know, everything else about them is awesome. You're saying they're a trash bag wrestler. That's the name of the thing. That's not limited to what they look like. You're burying them as if they don't belong in the business. You know, trash gets thrown away. You know, like, come on. Don't make people redefine exactly what the fuck you typed when you entered this thing. So then he starts out a thing, you know, and he mentioned something about, like, not knowing anything about CZW. Like, what the fuck? David Starr, you know, from the Juicy product, he, you know, jumped on there, you know, representing CZW over there and really, you know, defended CZW side of things and you know, his feelings on it. And I respect what he said 100% because he was saying legitimately, you know, what it is. Now this guy turns around more or less saying that, where is it? Let me scroll down. Some people like defend him like as if this is, you know, this is a good thing. And, now let me see. Okay. He goes, the majority of workers are okay with it and accept the free publicity of 10,763 people seeing them from all over the world. That's because they're pros and, well,
those who complain are either idiots or don't get a rib when they see one. Well, again, calling someone a trash bag wrestler is not a rib. One. Two, you had several wrestlers above you on the post disagreeing with you and intelligently explaining why they disagree with you. But none of that means nothing, anything. It's strictly, no, it's a rib. Well, first off, rib, I mean, wrestlers rib wrestlers. Fans don't rib wrestlers. So my thing was like, you know, I mean, well, shit, you must be a wrestler because, you know, fans don't rib wrestlers. And he says, well, if the shoe fits. So I'm just like, you know, why wouldn't you make yourself public? This whole thing is fine and it's just a rib and all that. Then why wouldn't you be under whatever public page that you're supposed to be under as yourself? And then make your little ribs and jokes and say, hey, shitbag, look at you, ha. And then see how well they take it and see how well that they like being put out on the internet to your 10,000-plus people as this guy's a trash bag wrestler. This is how I labeled this dude. Yeah, I mean, there's no way that the vast majority of wrestlers, although, you know, a lot of it I'm sure take it lightheartedly. I don't think that their, you know, life is ruined over the shit or anything like that. But I don't think they're like, you know, a page. If you ask them, hey, would you rather this be here or not, this page here that's calling you a trash bag wrestler, I would say that they'd probably rather it didn't. But again, life goes on. It's not going to destroy them. You know, it's not going to ruin their career. But I think it's a really shitty thing to do to someone who works their ass off and actually does a lot in the wrestling business, like a Matt Tremont, or especially someone who's passed away, like a J.C. Bailey. You know, that shit's not right. And then to say that you do no research and then start talking as if you're a wrestler, however, you don't know these fucking people. You don't know if they're alive or dead. And you just post this shit in order for other people to get a kick out of it. And, you know, and you think that's cool. I just think it's extremely disrespectful. I think you come off as a complete just jerk off to not do any research at all and just let it fucking be what it be. I can't disagree with it more. I fucking hate it. I really, really do. Because, you know, it's an unprofessional thing to do. It really is. Misrepresentation of wrestlers out there. And I would say, you know, if you're going to go out on some kind of, you know, podium and start calling people a trash bag, you would have some knowledge of why. You know, not just throw a bunch of names and pictures out there and then just go, well, I got nothing to back it up. Don't blame me. Hey, not my problem. I don't, you know, I mean, under his, technically, under his heading of what a trash bag wrestler is and gear and all that, then fucking New Jack fits into that category. Why don't you go tell New Jack what a fucking trash bag he is? Why don't you remove that little picture of a garbage bag, put up your fucking face, because, you know, you're just ribbing everybody and everyone's cool with it. Tell him what a trash bag he is for wearing camo pants, and just, you know, make sure you see him in actual life, too. You know what I mean? Like, it's shit like that that motherfuckers are cowards. People be real funny. People are extremely funny when they can't be held to any consequences. Oh, people are hilarious. People go out of their way to make jokes at other people's expense when they'll never be held accountable for it. Then all of a sudden they're just, you don't get comedy. Oh, I get the shit out of comedy. I love comedy. It's my favorite thing. Favorite type of movies are comedies. I don't see the comedy in bashing somebody under an anonymous profile and then trying to downgrade everything you say as, oh, that's not bashing, that's not burying, I'm just calling him a trash bag. Oh, that's normal. It's just, it's fucked up. So, anyway. Let me see. I'll play another track, come back. And, you know, hit the WrestleMania card real quick and Hall of Fame and then take it home. That's pretty much all I got for tonight.
Yeah, listen. These niggas can't write, right? Plus they pants tight, and they sweater small. Fuck it, I'm better, y'all. Go against the guard, that's the wrong move. What you want, Paul?
Ah, it's a celebration, bitches. I just got bag, mistletoe in my back pocket. Kiss my ass.
Oh, no.
Can we do a track?
No, quit hollering, I'm shitting. Niggas trash, I'm whack, toast, intolerant.
My gun pop, niggas. One shot, nigga. I run out of shells and straight unbox, niggas. Fuck rap riddles, get riddles with shells, yo. I'ma beat you a bitch like Pickle the Elmer.
My taste buds and your taste buds will never taste buds together. Cause your taste buds be tasting buds. But niggas homo thuggin' it. Clown big red bozo nose rubbin' it. Re-optrating, change your mind, you almost was a bitch.
Pussy, you tall ass niggas. This nigga got a fucking mandate.
This niggas like disrespecting the game. And my niggas disrespecting you lame.
Fuck outta here, man. Looking like Leroy from Fame and shit.
Fuck outta here.
That be your sweatpants, they got little pockets, you bitch.
You ain't got no respect for the game, so we ain't got no respect for you, lame.
Rap ain't selling, crack ain't selling, so it's back to armed robberies. My bad sting melons, take it back to D-Cell, back out the hammer fam. I ain't talking hammer blam fam, I'm talking hammer damn. Call an ambulance.
No, fuck that, I'm letting the cannon blam. Had that man smoking like this Amsterdam. Damn it, man. I go in your hood and get love, huh? You go in your hood and get mugged, bitch bastard. Don't go to Sun Crib, his shit bug. Why get tapped? This chump got a mic in his pimp cup.
Got a mic in the pimp cup, catch it right from the fist chump. Leave a non-smoker choking with lighting this bitch up. Still bozos, get knocked the fuck out, Miguel Cotto. First dab Judah, I'm worse, pass me the Luger. Bop, bop.
Stupid, your whole crew snake, dang it, you'll stay. You need some new brain, nigga, and some toothpaste.
Fuck out of here, this thing got Gucci Mane front, man, like grass in his mouth, ass nigga. Fuck out of here, dude.
This nigga's like disrespecting the game, me and my nigga disrespecting you lame.
Umbilical cord, man. Anything you do is bummed out, man. From the bootleg shoes to that nasty ass Ed Hardy sweater you got.
Niggas ain't got no respect for the game, so we ain't got no respect for you, play.
It's big drama,
nah.
It's little drama. Lip gloss stains on my dick from little mama. When the fuck Rihanna ain't used no umbrella. With the bitch have twins, we naming them both Ella. Ella.
Ella.
Hey, I'm just joking, maybe I'm not. I'm just smoking, maybe it's pot. Maybe it's coke, maybe it's both. Only way to tell, motherfucker, huh? Take it in tote.
Hell no, son. You can keep the coke. I'ma stick the reefer smoking hood, bitches, keep your cold.
The way it is.
I'm a slim thug, slim and shady. But I'm not from Houston, not that white boy from Tracy. But I'm worldwide circus, fuck chicks, boy. I didn't know that was your bitch I caught. Rapper, acting like I stole Beyonce, no, something, no, that's just a Beyonce, ho.
Chump, look at him.
That's your girl?
This nigga's like disrespecting the game, me and my nigga disrespecting you, hey.
Hey, who say so, my nigga? Yeah.
Niggas ain't got no respect for the game, so we ain't
them.
Got no Good respect job. For you, Blaine.
All right, I'm just going to go over the Hall of Fame inductees. Because, you know, thinking about it, I can go over the WrestleMania card. What exactly am I going to say that other people haven't said? What exactly is the point going, well, I think this, well, Daniel Bryan's going to win the title. Who fucking cares? The Ultimate Warrior is, I guess, headlining the Hall of Fame thing, which is... I mean, well-deserved. You know, they tried to bury the guy with the destruction of the Ultimate, or self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD where everybody fucking buried him to the point where they don't even know who to fucking induct him. They have Linda McMahon inducting the Ultimate Warrior, which is just fucking silly. But as far as the energy that dude brought, I was a Ultimate Warrior mark as a kid. I dressed as him for Halloween, the face paint, the fucking strings on my little ass arms and shit, and, you know, so many kids, you know, ran around the same way, and Tensity coming out shaking the ropes, and fucking, he was selling out fucking buildings, no maybes about it. So, you know, I mean, it just, it is what it is. When it comes down to a popular, a character that popular that was selling out buildings and just really drawing the fans in, he absolutely, regardless of, you know, whether he's Dean Malenko in the ring or not, I mean, the guy absolutely fucking belongs in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it's to put personal agendas and, you know, whether you got along with the guy in the locker room or whether he caught, you know, caused a bunch of problems afterwards or, you know, talked a bunch of shit after he left the company. I mean, that's your own things, but of course he fucking belongs in the Hall of Fame. So they got to get it done. They got to get him in there. I've even heard that backstage they're really unhappy with the fact that they're, you know, the officials are, wish they weren't inducting him. Just get it over with. You never have to deal with him again. Just put him in because he deserves it. I mean, come on. Jake the Snake Roberts, and he's going to be inducted by Diamond Dallas Page, which I think is only right because really, without DDP, Jake wouldn't be, you know, available to do it. I mean, they wouldn't usher him out there on TV without, you know, what DDP did for him. So, you know, help them do. Yeah, they'd absolutely wait until Jake died, and they'd probably wait another 5 to 10 years after that, and then they'd put him in. So, it, you know, it's really good. Jake definitely deserves it, and, you know, a guy like DDP who, you know, helped him get to where he is, and, you know, for him to Jesus Christ, for him to induct him, I mean, makes perfect sense. Lita is going in. It's going to be inducted by Trish. You know, Lita was another one that, you know, a lot of girls were, you know, dressing like her and idolizing her. And a lot of wrestling girls actually, you know, you'll talk to and looked up to her because she was more of an athletic, diva or, you know, whatever you want to call it, women's wrestler, you know, doing the moonsaults and stuff. You know, a lot of stuff that just wasn't seen as much, the rough edge wasn't seen as much on a female wrestler all the time. And a lot of, like, the blonde Barbie types and stuff. But, you know, she played a different character that kind of appealed to, you know, the alternative style, you know, girls out there and everything. So, you know, I think absolutely she belongs in there. Paul Bearer, definitely, you know, great manager, everything he's done in the business. And, hey, saying to be announced who he should be inducted by, there's no way in hell he shouldn't be inducted by The Undertaker. I know that they like to kind of kayfabe The Undertaker and not do anything where he talks or this and that, but he should absolutely be inducted by him, possibly by Undertaker and Kane. But even just as, you know, by The Undertaker, that would be, you know, that's fitting. I mean, it would be insane if they don't have him fucking inducted. Paul Bearer. Carlos Colon's going in. Obviously a lot of controversy there with, you know, what happened with Bruiser Brody. I wasn't there. I couldn't say. So I don't know. What can you say? Mr. T's going in as far as the celebrity wing. It's fine. Drew Carey's in fucking Hall of Fame. Of course, Mr. T belongs in there. And Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, another to be announced here. I think he's absolutely got to get inducted by Kevin Nash. I think, you know, when you look at his career, obviously did a lot as Razor Ramon and, like, you know, the ladder match back then with the 1-2-3 kid and the big man, little man thing. And then, this ladder match with Michaels. I mean, he did tons back then, Razor Ramon, awesome stuff. But, you know, him and Nash as the outsiders made an enormous impact. The NWO wouldn't have been shit without them. So I think, and especially with Kevin Nash on a constant, you know, good term basis and, you know, Triple H's boy and all that, I think they should have Nash induct him, but, you know, is what it is there. One thing I definitely got to say too is, you know, it's DDP better keep like a short leash on him and Jake,
It was actually said a while back on the MLW podcast that Conan and them do over there, which I actually just started listening to recently, and I think it's a great show. Those guys do a good job of just no bullshit talk and just solid stuff. It's so hard to find podcasts out there, wrestling podcasters, to say that aren't just a bunch of fucking geeks. You know what I mean? That just, I can't stand that shit. There's so many podcasts out there that just fucking sicken me. I try to listen to so many different of them because a lot of them have, you know, indie wrestlers on there and stuff. And I just can't get into so many of them. It just, even like, I mean, Colt Cabana does a great podcast and everything, has on, you know, some of the best guests. I mean, he obviously has an in with the WWE to be able to, actually interview under contract guys and stuff like that, and I think that's really cool. But even him, like, and this is just me personally, I mean, like I said, he does a great podcast. I can't listen to too much of his stuff. He just sounds like a game show host to me, and it annoys me. I got to be in the right mood to actually listen to a Colt Cabana podcast. Like, I'm subscribed to it, and then I just got to scroll through, and every once in a while I'll see, like, a guest that I like on there, and I'll, you know, I'll tough it out and listen to it or whatever, but it does get to me a little bit because he has this, that over the top, hey, it's Colt Cabana here, you know, he's got that real game show hosty approach to things. So it just gets a little irritating at times, even though, you know, he's tremendously professional, has one of the absolute best wrestling podcasts on the internet, no maybes about it. I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying, for my liking, it's a little much, you know, over the top that way. But just actual, you know, regular dudes talking that aren't just complete fucking virgins, and, you know, so many podcasts out there are just horrendous. Can't even form a sentence, let alone, you know, get an opinion across. But the MLW podcast is good, and they had actually said it when Jake was initially announced, before Scott Hall was, saying that, yeah, they're going to be in New Orleans. He's going to be being celebrated, and New Orleans is going to be insane. They better keep a short leash on him. And that same thing goes for Scott Hall, man, because that is an intense situation down there to have him down there and sober and everything else. So, you know, I wish him the best of luck and everything, and stay strong, because those dudes absolutely deserve the Hall of Fame induction, and I'd hate to see it tarnished by, you know, fucking mugshots and shit. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Hopefully nothing bad. I think that's about all I got. Definitely check out tomorrow, check out Wrestling Soup. I don't know if Andrew's doing a show over the weekend, but Stern Nation, check them out anytime. And I think that's all. That was the Sports Den's on tonight. You can check them out, talking about a lot of things. Obviously, you know, the big news, DeSean Jackson signed with the Reds, so he's going to be playing the Eagles twice a year. You know, RG3's got to be able to get his shit back together. Otherwise, it's not going to matter if DeSean Jackson's there or not. But he's a tremendous wide receiver, so he's able to lock in over there and, you know, do work. I mean, the Redskins have a big hill to climb. The Giants, I don't think the Giants are going to stay out of the limelight for too long. Yeah, out of the spotlight as being part of the NFC East for too long. Because there was even, you know, games where Eli was throwing for 400 or 500 yards and they were still losing the game. So some shit's got to come together. And, you know, they still have a guy that can sling the ball and a lot of weapons and stuff. And I'm sure they're going to tighten up a little bit. That whole division was just horrible and kind of up for grabs completely. And, you know, Dallas wound up with it. But a lot of guys are losing a lot of shit. And big moves happening in the offseason. That's a huge pickup for the Redskins. But, you know, and I'm really, really tired of the continued fucking Niner rumors. Every time one of these giant wide receivers come on the market, it's like, oh, we need him. No, we don't. We fucking don't. DeSean Jackson is a number one wide receiver. We need a number three. You can't put him over Anquan Boldin or Michael Crabtree. You can't do it. And we got Vernon Davis, who in his own right, one of the best tight ends in the league. I mean, whoever comes in is not going to be taking precedent over those guys. The amount of money that DeSean Jackson is getting, and look at what he's getting with the Redskins. he's not going to be overshadowed by two or three other guys on offense. He's going to be the go-to guy, and rightfully so. But I just don't understand where, you know, other Niner fans can't see that. It's just, you know, they want every fucking star on the team at once and think it's going to gel well. It just doesn't work that way. Just look at what a shitbag Randy Moss was for us. Fucking sake. I mean, I just think Moss is an asshole, but, you know, even if he was an asshole that produced very well for us, you know, he didn't produce, and he fucking sat on our team calling himself the best wide receiver to play the game on wearing the same colors that Jerry Rice wore, which is fucking retarded. You know, just one of those dudes. But, yeah, Colin Kaepernick's going to get an enormous contract. He really is. He deserves it. It's been talked about a bunch. The amount of money that, like, a Matt Ryan's making right now is crazy, and there's no way that Colin Kaepernick doesn't deserve more than that. Tony Romo, what he makes right now, you know, Kaepernick's already won more playoff games than either one of those guys. So there's no way that those, you know, that team doesn't pay the shit out of him. It's going to be a huge contract, and we definitely can't afford, you know, adding number one receivers to a number three spot. There's no money for that. There really isn't. So anyway, a little early for football talk, but what are you going to do? And, you know, the season schedules are going to be announced later this month, and NBA playoffs are going to be kicking up soon, so all the Knicks fans get to shut the fuck up, because we'll either not be in the playoffs or sneak in and get their fucking head pounded in first round. Look forward to talking about that. I kind of hope they sneak in, because I'd love to see just them get bludgeoned, and I'd really love to see them get swept right out of the playoffs, so we'll see, and hopefully against the Heat, because, you know, the Heat and Pacers are right up top. So Pacers are a force to be reckoned with. I think if the Heat don't win it again, then you're definitely talking about the Indiana Pacers. So that's what's up. I think that's about all I got. Check me out next week, and I'll be able to review some of these wrestling shows that go on over the weekend, because, you know, I can give my opinion on what happens afterwards after watching some of it, rather than, you know, giving my opinion on what hasn't happened yet. And like I said, most people are given the same type of opinion any fucking way. Everybody thinks Bryan Danielson's going to win the title. You know, Daniel Bryan, I should say. Most likely going to happen, but, I mean, how much speculation can you throw around before you pretty much just got to watch the goddamn show. So that's pretty much it. I'm going to call it a show. Definitely be back next week for sure. Getting a hang of this 5-day week gym schedule and be able to, you know, hit up the gym and still come home do the show. Try to do a little more production. I definitely have some audio projects I've been thinking about and stirring on, but it's just I haven't been able to sit down for long enough and focus on that. I just, for whatever reason, my attention goes in other directions. Maybe it's that crazy ADD acting up again. But no, I just, you know, for years I've worked 6 days a week, and now I go into the gym 5 days a week. I got three kids. I can't focus myself at staring at a computer and moving audio files around and clips and shit for long enough. I end up doing something else. So see what I could do, but I do have some good ideas. It should be pretty hilarious if I actually, you know, go through and do them up. But anyway, check me out next week. Thanks for listening. Peace.
There's a cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get a cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill them all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
These motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.